Father Lord, we thank you for today, for yet another opportunity to come into your presence, to share, to listen to your word, to hear from you, just to understand that the entrance of your word brings light, brings understanding to the simple. Lord, let light come to us in the name of Jesus.
Amen, Lord.
Let understanding come to everyone who is watching, everyone who will be joining later, for myself and for Pastor. Lord, let your spirit fill us afresh. Even as a result of this today's Bible study, in the name of Jesus.
Amen, Lord.
Lord, at the end of the day, let all the glory be unto you alone, not unto man. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And amen. And amen. Matthew and chapter 25. If you have your Bible, wherever you are, join us tonight as I read this parable of the wise and foolish virgins. Jesus tells of this parable in Matthew chapter number 25, and I read from verse 1. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps. They went out to meet the bridegroom. And verse number 2 says, now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Verse 13 in conclusion, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Wow, what a profound parable. And before you share some nuggets with us tonight, I was curious, and my curiosity led me to find out what marriages were like in the time of Jesus. And these are some of the things that I learned. I'll share more, as you break down this parable to us. Now, I found out that marriages in those days actually were not, the whole ceremony was not conducted in a day. It actually takes days, the celebration. I think roughly between 5 to 10 days at times, or a week. Usually the first day, from what I found out, because we've been learning about the bride being ready. Now, a bride is usually chosen for a young man. And they don't just decide to choose a bride in one day. This is done over a period of time. Even after they've identified a certain bride that is suitable for a young man, it takes about a year for the whole negotiation between the family, and of course, you know, that period is called a period of betrothal or something like that. Never mind those big words. And there's a kind of a negotiation back and forth within the family. So they negotiate everything, the bride, the groom, they get to know each other. They agree on how the wedding, it takes like a year. You know, we can liken that to a period of like courtship, getting to know one another, at least minimum of a year. And then when they agree on the wedding, this is very interesting, Apostle Cruz. The day one of the wedding starts in the evening. And the bridegroom is accompanied by friends, and they will go to the house of the bride to fetch the wife from her father's house. Then, at this point in time, the bride will be beautifully dressed. This is the interesting part. And will be taken in a procession. Beautifully dressed. That's day one evening, usually evening time. They will go in a procession to the house. That's the parents of the bridegroom. So, and they will follow, the procession will follow the bride who is beautifully now dressed. And they go. And guess what? 10 bridesmaids accompany that bride. 10. That evening. So they will go. So when they get to the bridegroom's parents' house, that's when that's the start of the whole feast. So Jesus talking about 10 bridesmaids is actually the culture of the day. You know what we call today the bridal party. So now look at this point. But they don't just go into the bride's groom's parents, more or less the house. They actually wait. They will wait, even though the bridegroom went with his own company to the house. The whole idea is just to say, okay, right, we're ready, so you can bring the bride. So, but now they now go in a procession. That's the bride and her bridesmaids, 10 of them. This is what the virgins Jesus was talking about. They are carefully chosen. Not just anybody follows the bride to be part of that bridal train. Not anybody. Not like today, sir, when all manner of people just join and, you know, you see party, you see dancing. You know, I'm not being funny now. You at times you even wonder who's getting married, because the so-called bridal train dance and just do choreography and all that, you know, rubbish and nonsense we see these days. You know, I'm saying this without, you know, with so much pain in my heart, little now that we see that we just have ceremonies, wedding ceremonies, but marriages are collapsing, sadly. So this was at the point. So they get to the bridegroom's house and they've got to wait for the bridegroom to come. So this is the point at which this parable, Jesus was painting that picture. So the procession, they've been chosen. They followed the bride. Now they are the point at which they are at the bridegroom's house. They want to enter, but they don't enter until the bridegroom comes. So when the bridegroom comes, then the bride enters, and day two, they enter day two of the ceremony. Very interesting. So you can imagine how long this has been, the whole preparation, the whole choosing of who's going to be the bridesmaid, the 10 lovely virgins. They had 1 year to prepare, sir.
Yes, sir.
At least, let's say, give or take. 6 months, five, they had time. But nobody can predict when the bridegroom now will come in. So, sir, from this parable, over to you. Very interesting history.
Yes,
so that people can have this thing in perspective. And, you know, one more thing, sir. It's a whole village thing. So the wedding, everybody participates. It's a very lovely, wonderful, colorful event. So everybody knows what is happening. Everybody's prepared for it. Over to you.
Thank you very much, sir. It's a very interesting parable here, which Jesus used to liken the kingdom of heaven. And one very interesting thing was that when they started, the Bible said that in that verse 1, it said that there were 10 virgins.
Mm-hmm.
At a point in time, there was nothing to distinguish between the 10 virgins. There were just 10 virgins who took their life and they consciously went out to meet with the bridegroom. Now, the fact that they were virgins means that they are chaste. They've kept themselves. They've prepared. They've waited a long time. They've gotten their lambs. Everything is there. Everything is available, and they're waiting consciously for the bridegroom to come.
Yeah.
But in verse 2, the Bible starts to separate them. Five were wise and five were foolish. In that very first verse, there was nothing to distinguish them. Nothing at all. They looked exactly the same from outside. They looked, like we said last week, they were the same. They were all virgins. They were anxiously waiting for the bridegroom. They had their lamps. During the day, you wouldn't know whether the light is shining as much or not. You don't really need the light of that lamp during the day because the sun is shining. So nothing to distinguish except for when the night time came.
Mm-hmm.
So the night time was what really made us to understand whether they were foolish or whether they were wise. And what it did during the daytime was what determined how heaven or how God rated them as whether they were foolish or whether they were wise. And it reminded me of when we're taking study on the seasons. Jesus was saying that I will walk the walk of my Father during the day because the night comes when no man will work. And that's one area that I wanted to touch. But the main bit was what was inside. If you go to verse 3, it said, they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. They took their lamps, but they took no oil with them. But in verse 4, it said, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps, And that really caught my attention because the only thing that would distinguish them is not external. It's the fact that in the vessels of this one, like the wise ones took oil. The Bible didn't state whether the five had vessels or not, but what it looks like was they would probably have had a vessel somewhere, maybe the ones where they carried the lamps, but there was no oil available. No oil was prepared. And we understand that it is during the day that you prepare and you get the oil. And the analogy for the oil, like we all know, is like the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Holy Spirit. And one of the things that caught my attention there was I was looking at a typical car that we drive. It needs oil in the engine for it to work. Sometimes, if I don't change the oil in my car and I keep washing the car externally and keeping it neat, taking it for it to be for proper full valet, and then they wash it, they polish it, while I keep running the mileage on it and there's no oil, what would happen one day is that engine is going to knock. So it is not how it looks externally, because if you want to buy a car, one of the things that you don't want to do to be able to buy a car is to look at the external features of the car. What really matters is what is inside the engine. And what God is touching here is, what do we have on our inside? What do we have? And don't forget that it is not during the day. We all have there was a part when Jesus wanted to go and raise Lazarus from the dead. And he talked about the fact that there are 12 hours of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And that at night, and during that day is when you're meant to do the work. And that at night, that there's nothing you can really do. And what God is saying is, on the inside, if you remember that at the beginning of the pandemic, when we were being ushered into this new season, one of the things that God dealt with was the issue of the heart.
That's right, sir.
Of the heart, the issue of what is inside. He talked about the fact that Israel like clean the external parts of the cup, but their inside is dirty and filthy. God is saying in this season, do you have that oil for the season? The Christianity is not a sprint. It is a long-term marathon.
Mm.
It's one that will require endurance and perseverance. Because if you look at it, if all the 10 virgins, all of them, the 10 of them, they at one point slumbered. At one point, nighttime came, and which makes me to understand that the nighttime is not unique to anyone. Mm. Everyone goes through a period of the nighttime.
Mm-hmm.
But what distinguishes whether our light will come on or our light will go dim is how much of oil we have. And if you look at when the five foolish virgins were trying to trim their lamps and they were trying to get ready, I was asking myself, if the oil is the Spirit of God and I have no oil on my inside and I'm driving the car, or maybe the oil is so low, and I keep running the car, what I'm running on is the walk of flesh, is the arm of flesh, is flesh that is driving. And we are picking some of these analogies from this five foolish virgin. Just trying to understand what God is saying to us in this season. God is saying, what are you running on? What are you running on? Are you running on someone else's oil? Because the foolish virgins, they were used to collecting oil from other people. The first thing that came to their mind was, can you borrow me? Can you give me of your own oil? They were asking the five wise virgins.
Mm.
They were trying to be able to see whether they can negotiate to get oil. Maybe the oil that they were burning in the daytime, maybe it was even borrowed. But what preparation are you making at the time when you have the energy, when you have the grace to do the works that God has given to you? What are you doing? And those were the areas where God was really, really dealing with me. What is on my inside? Because people can see the external. Okay, maybe sometimes I teach, sometimes I go to work, maybe sometimes I'm quiet, maybe I may fit what you call a Christian, maybe on the external. I talk Christianese, I walk Christianese, I dress Christianese, because those were some of the things that were there. And maybe there were bits and bobs of light that you could see. I was carrying a lamp, but you didn't really know how much that lamp was shining.
Mm.
Maybe the community around that was making it to shine or not. But what is in my inside? What is in my inside? And one of the things that made me to worry the most is the Bible said in the first verse, it said, then it shall the kingdom of God be likened to the 10 virgins. So that means it is not now. The differentiation is not now. I would not know now unless I'm filled with the Spirit, whether you and I are foolish or we are wise, whether we are filling ourselves with oil or we are running based on works of flesh, is going to be dead. And that's why it's very important for us to examine ourselves, look inside, look. For some of us, maybe we feel confident in the places where we are. For some of us, maybe we don't even care, because the Bible did not really tell us why they did not buy the oil. The Bible did not tell us what they were doing during the day. The Bible did not explain anything. But the Bible made us understand that they were waiting patiently. They were active Christians. They kept themselves. They were there doing all the things. And that took me to one of the things that Pastor was teaching us during the beginning of the pandemic, when we were looking at their hearts. And they talked about the half-hearted. They were doing everything. They looked like it. The seed was growing. But what was there was in their vessels, the thorns that were also planted, which at the time when they were meant to be productive, what happened was the thorns came and they choked the word. At the time when their light was meant to shine, the thorns grew and they sort of like overshadowed the good seed, and it did not bring forth fruit.
Hmm.
That, And if you look at the oil, what do we need that oil for? What do we need the oil for? In the Old Testament, God commanded the priests that the lamp must not go out in the sanctuary of God.
That's right.
So it talks about the presence of the Holy Spirit permanent and persistently with us. It talks about the fact that we have a flow, a direct connection to the Spirit of God, which is what gives us, which gives our life the direction that we have. That's that oil. That's that oil. And also, what do we need oil for? It's for the anointing upon our head. If you look at Zechariah, when we're talking about Zerubbabel, it talked about not by power, not by might, not by the works of flesh, but it's the grace. Enablement for us to be able to run the Christian life. Because if you try to run the Christian life by the flesh, if you try to run the Christian life by just getting all the externalities and getting it ready, at the night time, when no man can walk, when people go to sleep and there's slumbering, we will realize that what happens there with the conversation. And that's why this is asking God consciously that as a bride waiting, as a virgin waiting, actively waiting for the coming of Lord Jesus, Lord, fill me, help me, Lord. If I'm running low on oil, let your spirit remind me. Let your spirit remind us so that we do not make an assumption that we are preparing. We do not make an assumption that we are waiting for the coming of Christ. Because if you see what happened, he said, go and buy. Midnight is not the time to buy the oil.
Come on.
Because Jesus was saying in Revelation 3, he said, come and buy of me gold that is tried of fire. Now, the person that is telling you to come and buy, at the time when he is coming, he has closed the shop for you to be able to buy. He is the one that is coming. He's the one you are waiting to meet. Is the one also that fills you with that spirit. So if you go on to buy in the midnight, what you will buy will be what is fake. You are going to be buying a counterfeit. Those that you are buying from, they are not also prepared for the coming of the bridegroom. So what would happen is you will end up getting the hands burnt, because when they went out to buy, they missed the bridegroom. They missed the
They went to buy at the wrong time.
At the wrong time. Mm. And that is very, very important. The timing with God. He said the doors were closed. And one thing that touched me was the fact that Christ said he never knew them. Like, I do not know you. I do not know you. And I was thinking that after all, keeping yourself for Christ, waiting, and then because I did not prepare myself internally, I did not prepare my heart to obey God. I did not prepare myself as a vessel to be the habitation of Christ, the habitation of his spirit. At the end of the day, he says to me, I do not know you.
Wow. 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 You know, some things, been highlighted here because, like you did point out that verse 1 says, then Jesus went out. Sorry.
Then shall the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened. Then. So before then, there was the time. And then you said something about the midnight is usually what reveals the level of our own, this is where I put it, our preparedness that was meant to have been done during the day. The night is not the time to go and start looking for oil. Oil is usually, interestingly, like you said, not available at such time for sale. If you find anything there, and, you know, there's something that jumped out at me this parable also said. He said that they told them, number one, the power of no.
Yes, sir.
So one of our lovely brothers, Damilola, led us in the prayer one day that I looked at it, that, wow. Imagine those five wise virgins did not say no. that meant that one, they will have compromised and probably run out of that extra oil, wouldn't have not even been enough for them. So they will all have ended up being foolish. So the ability to say no, to recognize those who want to take, just drain us of what of what's on the inside of us, it must have been tough. You're in the same bridal train, prepared for such a wonderful day that has taken a year, weeks, months, days, and then you've been together, and now you are to say no to your colleagues, your fellow virgins and bridesmaids, you know. But now he said something, I think it's that verse 9. But the wise answered, saying, no. I pray somebody will be able to say no. I'm telling you the power of no. No is no. Like, you know, one old wise woman used to say that he mentors young ladies and teaches them to say no. No to, you know, advances of unscrupulous, you know, men and looking, you know, coming with their evil intentions. And she said she taught them that when you say no to a man, and the man does not seem to be virgin, that ask them, what aspect of no don't you understand? No means no. You know, there's so much power. And I pray somebody hearing this, listen, that's the answer you've been waiting for. The answer is no. All right? Said, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you. But go rather, look at this, to those who sell. To those who sell and buy for yourselves. To go to who sell at midnight? Not likely. Anyway, thank you for that. There are some questions, interesting questions that and comments people are making. So mindful of our time so that we give time to that. Thank you for, you know, for sharing that. Listen, one deep thing you've shared again is about, it's not the external.
Yes, sir.
It's what's inside the vessel.
Yes, sir.
That's what keeps us going. Do you have oil? Do I have oil? Do I have the Spirit of God in me? Because at the end of the day, it's those who are led by the Spirit. And it's what we are full of, usually, that will lead us. Jesus, filled, full of the Holy Spirit and power, was now led by the Spirit. And he went about doing good. So what's on the inside? Do we have the Spirit of God? Are we running on the flesh like you shared? Or we're running by the power of what's inside our vessels, which is the oil, the anointing, the grace, the unction of the Holy Spirit? It's not by power, it's not by might, it's by that extra oil, by that oil of the Spirit of God, the oil of gladness. So let's look at people's comments together. Again, people, thank you. Those joining on Facebook, please type in your comments. We want to read your comments, we want your contributions, we want your questions. Those on YouTube, type in your comments. We'll be on the lookout. And we will be glad to read your comments. And anonymously, Slido, that seems to be the popular one, sir. And we have a couple of comments. And please, let me just say this, because we noticed last week, you know, someone asked a question, gave a testimony, and glory be to God that they were once a Muslim, now they found Christ and all that. They had some questions. I don't know if the person is joining again online tonight. But then we noticed somebody was trying to answer them a question. Please leave the comments and the questions on Slido. They are there. I know some people, out of, you know, trying to help, try to answer people who are making comments or asking questions. Please just, you comment, you put in your participation, your contribution. But please, let's avoid trying to answer somebody else who's asking a question. You know, the question is directed at, you know, those of us who are, you know, coordinating and, you know, here on this platform by the Spirit of God to help us. So let's look at what we have tonight. So please, the media team, over to you. Can you display some of them, and then we can start. Let's start from the early ones we got. You know, I saw a comment. Let me just quickly respond to that. Somebody said the choreography is not that bad. I did mention about, you know, these days you see people, they're preparing for weddings. They're busy rehearsing choreography, practicing choreography. Listen, I'm not saying the choreography is bad, but I'm just saying that in all sincerity, I don't, and I stand to be corrected, know how choreography contributes to the success of a marriage. If we have failed to prepare for the married life and we're busy preparing for that wedding day, how we will look good, how we will, you know, display, how we will appear, how we will impress, how, you know, we want the wedding to be the talk of the town. Listen, God forbid, wedding becomes talk of the town. I know someone like that, sadly, a close friend of mine. He was boasting his wedding was talk of the town. The marriage itself didn't last. They shut down the street, shut down everywhere to have that wedding ceremony take place. The marriage itself did not. It's a, listen, when the marriage collapses, it will also become the talk of the town. God forbid. But what we're saying is that please let the real priority be priority. Revelation chapter 19, sir. I saw that scripture again. Oh, wow. It says that the marriage of the Lamb has come. The bride has, not is going to, has made herself ready. She made herself ready. There was a period of preparation. There was the daytime for the preparation. The bride, you are not the bride on the wedding day. You are the bride before that wedding day. Prepared before that wedding day. And listen, it was after the readiness of the bride that the next verse tells us, the next scripture said, and to her it was granted, look at that word granted, to be arrayed in fine linen. It's not the fine linen that got the bride ready. You know, on the wedding day, you usually the bride is distinguished by that lovely wedding gown. But listen, you spend your time preparing to wear, choosing wedding gown. Do you know what I saw there? Even that gown was not chosen for her. It was prepared, made for the bride that was ready. That was ready. I began to ask myself, who made that fine linen? Who made it clean and bright? Listen, it was ready, made, prepared. She was going to be adorned, but it's the right, ready bride that will be adorned with it. So the choreography is not that bad. It makes the wedding interesting. Very, you know, I'd rather have an interesting marriage than an interesting wedding. I know someone who called off a wedding because, you know, the person said the person they were going to marry had lost it. That all they were talking about was the wedding day, the dress, the bride, the burgundy, the turquoise. He said, you've lost it. I'm not marrying you again. You know? This is scary. And millions that people spend on that ceremony, it is scary, people.
Pastor, that also points us to, because the Bible didn't tell us why the five foolish virgins were not prepared with oil. And that may be something that we may look at, where we say, why is it that some marriages don't have enough oil to last the duration? Maybe at the time when they were meant to be buying the oil, they were busy doing other things, the activities around what, because it's not about all those external activities, it's about that oil, which makes it to last the whole period.
The extra oil. The extra, you know, it comes to mind when the son of, I'm trying to remember now, I don't want to mix it. Was it Abraham who asked his servant to go and choose a bride for his son? And look at the criteria that servant prayed to God. That, look, the woman that I meet there, the young girl I meet there, who is ready to go that extra mile to not just feed the camels, give them a drink, but also provide, go the extra length. That was the one that was chosen. You know, so many things. So, but, you know, the contributor here, please bring back that comment. The person rightly said, the problem is the celebrants do not use their 1 year to do counseling. And he says, guests, go home. That's the interesting thing. On your wedding day, the guests will go home. They will eat your rice, drink your, everything you provide. The wedding can become even the talk of the town. But at the end of the day, everybody goes home. It's the two people, whether they are prepared or not prepared, that are in the marriage. God help us all. All right, let's move on quickly. Let's move on quickly so that we can wrap up. Somebody says that I still find it hard to understand why five who had extra oil couldn't share. Are we not encouraged to help support those in need? And thank God, you know, I didn't see this before, but let me reiterate, you know, listen, there was a period to prepare. And in the period of preparation, everybody should have been wise enough, prudent enough to know that they will need that extra oil. You know, the story we shared at the start, the culture back then. When the bride and the bridesmaid, 10 of them, accompany her to the groom's parents' house, they still have to wait when they get there for the bridegroom to come. It's when the bridegroom comes, then the ceremony starts. So it's unpredictable. You don't really know exactly when. It's not like nowadays that we have timing. From 5 minutes to 10 minutes, we will do this. At 10:30, we'll do that. At, you know, so we need to understand the culture back then. Because you know what? Even the bride could back out of the wedding. That was the culture back then. You know, could decide, could wait. So it's usually in the evening time that this happens. So they will have to wait. And the Bible said it was now, this particular bridegroom came at midnight. Excuse me. I think a prudent, one of the things we learned about the bride that will be chosen is the bride must be prudent. The Bible says a prudent man foresees evil, hides himself. The Bible says houses and riches are the inheritance of the fathers. A prudent wife is from the Lord. You should know when it's midnight, it doesn't get any lighter. It's still, there will still be a period of darkness after that midnight. The ceremony starts in the evening. So you need light. At midnight, you still need light until the break of day. These people calculated and took extra oil. So imagine the extra oil that is meant to carry them, they now share with the foolish virgins. Guess what? Nobody enters that wedding ceremony. The Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You know, one of the things I found out, Apostle Cruz, you can't love God. I mean, you can't love people more than God loves them.
Yes.
And it's so devastating, that statement. I never knew you.
So something that I was thinking about is the fact that, Pastor, during the daytime that we have currently, you've been laboring over us. There are some people that you're like, this is the way, this is what the word of the Lord says. This is what God is saying, all of that. And you're laboring and laboring for us to give our lives to Christ, to get oil, to fill ourselves with the Spirit of God, come to church, fellowship with the brethren. But once Christ comes, Pastor is busy facing his own line with Christ. at that point is not the point where I'm going to go and ask Pastor, sorry, Pastor, please, what were you teaching about salvation at that time? Because what's happening is once that door, once the bridegroom comes, once Christ comes back, the second coming, there's no time for you to be able to quickly run to church. If you run to church at that time, anybody you meet at church has missed the bridegroom. At that time, the focus is on the bridegroom. The focus is on rapturing and going on with the second coming. And if you look at it, it's an analogy. Nobody is, during the day, you could share your oil. During the day, you could show them where to buy the oil. This is where I got the oil. This is the Bible verse that I've been reading. This is the daily guide that I'm using. But at the night time, when the bridegroom comes, I'm so sorry, but not the time to share.
The ability to say no.
Yes.
To those who want to drain you and cause you to miss it.
Yes,
we just have to learn the power of no.
No.
And know when to say no. So, you know, we could be so nice. We could be so, that's what usually gets people in trouble. There's a time to provide help. There's a time to provide the support. If you do that in the wrong time, no matter how good your intentions are, the Bible says, don't let our good be evil spoken of. So people, let's be wise. The nighttime is what distinguishes the wise from the foolish. The daytime is when the wise, those who will be wise, should start preparing for the nighttime. When Jesus shows up, that's not the time to now start accepting Jesus. It will be too late. All right, let's go quickly. Next comment. Let's look at it. There was something a child said there, which is very interesting. If we can pick that up from Slido. Any comments from our YouTube brethren, Facebook? Can we see? All right. I do not want to be a bride. Bride is for girls. I am a boy. And that's a question from a child. Lovely. Thank you for that. Number one, you know, God bless that child. And we can tell that you're a boy. By bride, in this context of bride of Christ, we've explained that it's not male or female. It's not a boy or a girl. We are the body of Christ. We are the bride of Christ. If you're part of the body of Christ, which is known as the church, people called out of darkness into light, people who have received Jesus as their Lord and Savior, you have become his bride. Let me explain. There's neither male nor female, you know, when it comes to the spirit of the things of the Spirit of God. We are one. We are the same. It's the same Spirit. So in that context, so it's not that you're a girl or you are not a girl that makes you the bride of Christ. It's that you're a believer. You are a part of the body of Christ, which is the church. That's what makes you a bride. But then, on the flip side, listen, even as a boy who becomes a man and someday becomes the bridegroom, you also need your preparation. You need to prepare in the real world we're talking about now to become a husband. You know, Apostle Cruz, I always look at this transition that once upon a time, we are all babies, and then we are distinguished, baby boy, baby girl. So let's follow the trajectory of the boy. The boy becomes a young boy. The young boy becomes a teenager. The teenager, is that the one that is not also known as the adolescent?
Yes, sir.
And he becomes a young man. Then he becomes a man, mature. But then, he doesn't stop at being a man. Now the man is the one who transits to become a husband. All these levels require preparedness. when you're a boy, you don't think like a man. But now you've become a man, you put away childish things. You are trained, your mind is expanded, you become a man. But now, being a man is not the same as being a husband.
Yes, sir.
You are also prepared from manhood to become a husband. That's another level. So you prepare to become a husband who will love his wife, a husband who will know how to lead a home, lead a family, lead a wife and children. You've got to have that capacity. Different level, different preparation. So guess what, Apostle Cruz? It doesn't end there. Now that husband one day becomes a father. Another level. So we need to be preparing for all these things. But guess what? Right from when you're a boy is when you should start being trained to become a young man, a matured man, who will become a husband tomorrow and a father someday. You know, the ultimate level of our relationship that Jesus introduced God to us was Father. Was Father. So thank you for that. Let's run quickly another one. Somebody exclaimed, 1 year? So we should not marry quickly. I think the person was following the story of, you know, in Bible times, when, you know, the culture back then was, you know, yeah, they identify the bride for who's suitable to a young man, and it takes a whole, at least 1 year for that period of preparedness, you know. This comment, so we should not marry quickly. I will say this, don't rush into marriage. By rush means you are not prepared. You didn't prepare, but you rush into it. Like Apostle Cruz said, listen, it's not when you now marry, you now want to start learning what marriage is all about. Sadly, sir, it's very common in the times and seasons we live in. People just want to marry, but don't really understand the concept of marriage from God's perspective. What is marriage? Never man's idea. Never. It was never. That's the first place to start from. Man never went to God, I want to marry. It's God who came to man, I want you to marry. I want to give you a suitable helper, a help meet. And why? Because the man had an assignment and he needed help for the assignment. You don't understand your assignment. You don't know who you are. You don't know what's God's plan and everything is for you. You are still groping in the dark. Now you want to carry somebody else into your misery. And besides, you know, like I was sharing recently, we have created, in this time and season we live in, sadly, we've created marriage in our own image and likeness. And we now want to live in that marriage we created, not the one God created, and things don't work because we're not doing things in a godly manner. Husband, love your wife. Wife, submit to your husband. These things are deep words, you know. We don't have time. But the whole idea is prepare. Okay? Prepare. Okay? Any more comments, please, or questions? Thank you very much. Let's see some contributions. Someone said, it is the Spirit of God which is oil within us as vessels that gives us wisdom to live by the word, which is the lamp on our path, which makes us wise. Yeah, thank you for that contribution, reiterating what Apostle Cruz shared with us. Another person, we do not just live in the Spirit, we should also walk in the Spirit. You know, we live, we walk. You know, there's this scripture that says, in him We live, we move, we have our being. Being. I tell people we are human beings, not human doings. We just, you know, at times we just think life is all about doing. No, it's a being. When you become like and more like Christ, then we can do the things that Christ did. He said, the works that I do, you shall do also. But he said, if you abide in me, and I, my words, abide in you, we ask what we will, it shall be done. We will be more fruitful, you know, that way. Okay? I don't know if there's any other comment. Can you see anything on Slido, sir? Thank you, everybody, tonight for joining.
No, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Okpe Adebola, on YouTube. There's a time for everything. There's a time to say no and a time to say yes. There is a time to share and a time not to. You know, I was in a school once upon a time with young girls of like 13, 14 year olds. And we were just having discussion and they were all just telling me, oh yeah, so and so, they have a boyfriend, yeah, they need. So I said, I asked them a simple question. I said, what do you, a 12, 13 year old, need boyfriends for? And you know what one of them told me? He said, do you know, I've never thought of this. I've never thought. Because my friends are having boyfriends and, you know. And I said, do you know yourselves? I said, you are in a state, a season of self-discovery. You don't know who you are. Spend time to understand your own body. Spend time to understand even what you want to do with your life. You are still, in quote, confused about your identity. And I say, I put it to you. They all sat around me, called themselves. You don't need a boyfriend. There is a time and season for that. You know, it was like damaging a lot of strongholds. But then, you know, one of them was determined. He said, I've never had it like this before. And I think, seriously, he said, because I've had a boyfriend before and it's all ended up in tears for me. I said, yeah, it's going to end up in tears because there's a season for everything under heaven. You know, so let's understand that. Boys are coming to you now. Oh, yeah, you're beautiful. Oh, we like your hair. We like this. Listen, boys will be boys. I tell girls that. If you ask a boy sincerely what he wants from you, it's not something pleasant. It's not. Don't bow to peer pressure. The answer to somebody is no. Okay. Let's understand that. Any other? I don't think we have any. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wisdom is shown by your actions. The wise virgins were wise because of their actions, not just because they were called wise. Are your actions showing wisdom? And deeper than that, Apostle Cruz, what makes them wise?
It's the Spirit of God on their inside. That Spirit in Isaiah 11 says the Spirit of wisdom. Mm. The Spirit of wisdom. Because sometimes we may get carried away by the actions, but it is the Spirit of God really differentiated from me.
Mm. And let me read that Isaiah chapter 11 you just quoted, so that that person also, you know, to let us know. It says in verse 1, there shall come forth a rod, Isaiah chapter 11 from verse 1, a rod out of the stem of Jesse, a branch shall grow out of the woods, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom, Spirit of understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Verse 3, say that spirit shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of the eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of the ears, but with righteousness shall he judge and reprove. You know, we just need to read these things. Spirit, it was what was in the vessel that made the difference. Amen. And that dictated their actions. Thank you very much. I think we are. Thank you. Somebody said understood. Thanks for the explanation. Can we talk about the kingdom of heaven or God? Is this the same as heaven? That's another theological thing, which if we start now, we wouldn't finish. But to understand kingdoms, just recognize that the word kingdom is just talking about the domain of a king. That's the where the king exercises dominion. Every king has a boundary of their domain. For example, the king of Spain has the domain of Spain and all probably the islands around, you know, associated with Spain. The king of England, thank God we have a king now, King Charles, in the past, the domain extended to what is known as the Commonwealth countries in Africa, you know, the countries where the United Kingdom went and colonized. But then once everybody got their independence, it's now the United Kingdom. So his domain is no longer over countries in Africa, some countries even in Europe, but now the King Charles, his dominion, his kingdom is within the United Kingdom now. Scotland, Wales, I think parts of
Northern Ireland,
and England.
Yes.
So that's the kingdom. So when you hear the kingdom of heaven, just where heaven has dominion over. Kingdom of God, where God has dominion over. Jesus said the kingdom of God where? Is within you. Which means if you and I come under the king lordship of Jesus, the kingdom, the domain, his dominion comes within us. Somebody who refuses Jesus is not under that kingdom, under the dominion. They've not come under that domain where the king reigns and rules in their lives. That's why we need the Spirit of God. Because when we come into the kingdom, his spirit now takes dominion over us, and we are ruled, led, taught, controlled, guided, taught by that spirit of God. Amen. Yeah. I think just simply put, really. I think that's it tonight. Yeah. Our question and answer session extends usually for a better part of half an hour after the time in 7. So thank you, Apostle Cruz.
Thank you.
I don't know if you have one word before we hand over to our media people.
I think while looking at all this over this month, the question I've been asking myself is, where do I get my oil leaking? I'm losing the oil, the spirit of God inside. Is it by impatience, like what happened to Saul when he went to make the sacrifice? Is it by what I'm looking at every time something went somewhere, it was always seeing something? What is it that I'm doing? Is it sin? Is it disobedience? Is it I'm sharing it too much? I'm giving it, I've not said no. And I'm so over. Where am I? And it's a question for each and every one of us. Where are you leaking? Where are you losing that spirit that God has filled you with?
And I pray that God will help us identify where we're leaking and help us to seal that leak. Give us new hearts and pour a new spirit within us. And Father, we just thank you tonight May your name be glorified.
Amen.
Thank you for instructing, correcting, rebuking, and guiding us. And as we go tonight, Lord, we ask your spirit will continue to instruct us in righteousness for your name's sake. And Lord, that on that day, we will not hear, "I do not know you," but we will all hear, "Welcome, you good and faithful bride of mine. Enter into the joy of your Lord." So shall it be, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. We hand over to the media team right now. And please, admin team, I hope you have, do we have figures or, you know, of the donations? Please pass that across to the media team. God bless you, everybody. Thank you, Apostle Cruz.
Thank you very much. Thank you, everyone.
Right.